Many of you know our speaker today. It's Dr. Joshua Bokonjogo. He spoke at our missions conference just a couple of months ago, and he challenged us to seek the Lord in serving Him with our whole hearts and lives, and to have a world focus as we seek to win the nations for the gospel. He's originally from Nigeria, right? And he served for many years as a medical missionary in Niger or Niger, the French pronunciation, and that's where he got to know Pastor Wong and his family. And now he's living in Charlotte as the SIM International Director. And so, please welcome Dr. Joshua.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back here and to spend this Sunday with you. I'm here with my family, my wife Joanna, daughter Jo, and our son Joe, and our daughter Jochebed. The switch place is on me there too. And we are here together to fellowship with you on this very special day. I think this is a special day to be commissioning missionaries, because if you think about some of the songs we just sang, we've been singing about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to earth. We are at this time celebrating perhaps one of the greatest missionary commissions that has ever and will ever happen in all of heaven and earth. And that is the coming of the Son of God, the incarnated Word of God. We celebrate His birth at this time of the year. That is the greatest missionary celebration that we will ever have, because that was when God became man so that we may be redeemed. And it was out of that commissioning of the Son of God who came, incarnated, and became one of us, as John told us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And out of the work He did, that every other commissioned missionary go out from any church and every church to make known what He has done. So this is a very special time to be commissioning missionaries. And today, I just want to spend a few minutes in reflecting on the Word of God from the book of Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to 11, and I'm just going to read through that, and we will pray. Philippians chapter 1, from verses 1 to 11, I've kind of titled this message, Partnering in the Gospel. Partnering in the Gospel. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that we can come together like this to share in your word, to listen to you. I ask now that you will speak to your people by yourself. That, Father, the word that we hear will be that which is inspired by your spirit. and that our hearts will be open, not only to listen, but to do that which you want us to do. Thank you, everlasting God, we praise you, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Philippians is a very interesting book because it's one of those New Testament books, particularly letters of Paul, that was quite different than most of the other letters. Among the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, this is one letter that kind of stands out for perhaps two key reasons. One, it didn't seem like when Paul was writing this letter, he was actually aiming at correcting particular errors, although there were certain issues he addressed in his letter. Whereas several of the other letters, for example, to the Galatians, he was addressing particular issues. To the Corinthians, he was addressing particular issues. When he was writing to the Philippian church, there didn't seem to be a big issue that Paul was addressing. And the second thing about this letter that perhaps stands out is that this is a letter that was just full of the sound of joy. And it's a letter that was written from prison. You read this letter, it's difficult to tell that the writer of this letter was writing from prison, because every chapter of this letter rings with joy. And you might be asking yourself, how on earth does a man in prison write to those who are outside the prison, who are supposed to be free, telling them to be filled with joy? How does that work? How does that happen? I believe that one of the key reasons that Paul could be so joyful about the church in Philippi is the partnership in the gospel that he shared with that church. This is a church that was planted, perhaps the very first church that Paul planted in Europe. Because the story of this church, after Paul and Barnabas had gone back to Antioch, the church that sent them out, and there was a parting of ways between Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul left Antioch with Silas, and they went through all the areas that Paul had visited before, and having concluded that trip, they came to Lystra, Derbe, where Timothy joined the team, and as they were praying, Paul wanted to go in different directions at least twice. The Holy Spirit said to Paul not to go in the direction he wanted to go. At that point, as he was praying, he saw a vision of a man of Macedonia, which is a region in Europe, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the Bible tells us in Acts 16 that the team, which now included Luke, having concluded that God was calling them to Macedonia, they left and headed in that direction. They landed in Neapolis, and the very first city where they preached the gospel was Philippi. So that was the background of this church. It was in this particular city that Paul met Lydia, the maker of purple, who first became the first convert, and then was invited them into his house, or her house rather, and they stayed with her, and they preached in that city. It was in that city they casted out demon from a slave girl who was demon possessed, and they got into trouble. It was in the city of Philippi that Paul and Silas were locked up in prison. And by miraculous act of God, the prison was opened. And it was in that city that the jailer, the person who was in charge of that prison, became a Christian because of that miracle that happened. Because the jail opened and Paul and Silas stayed in, they never left, in spite of the fact that they were free. So this was the background of that church. So you have Lydia, the maker of purple, you have the jailer, and you have several other people who came to faith in the city of Philippi. That was the planting of this church. Paul was now writing to this church. Perhaps Paul had visited this church a second time. But at this point, when he was writing this letter, it was about 11 years later and he was already in jail in the city of Rome. So he was writing to this church that had been his partner in the gospel. Partnering in the gospel. So he started by addressing them, and in fact, in the very opening of this letter, it was clear that Paul never sees his calling as a single person's calling, but rather a team calling. Because Paul, he said, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus. When God calls us to his work, he calls us as teams. There's partnership in God's calling. As we partner in the gospel, there is a partnership in the calling that we receive to preach and present the gospel of Christ to the world around us. Today, as we'll be commissioning two families, we're not commissioning just individuals who have received God's call. We're commissioning teams who have received God's call, and we're commissioning a congregation who is receiving a call with those couples. Paul and Timothy. The call of God often includes not just the individual, but the team that supports that work. It's very interesting when you think of how Christ sent out people in the New Testament, in the gospel stories. He never sent out anyone alone. The idea of the gospel is always an idea of a partnership, of a relationship, of a team that is sent together to present Christ's gospel to the world. You think about Christ sending out the disciples. He sent out the 12. How did he send them? 2 by 2. When he sent out the 72, how did he do it? 2 by 2. It's very interesting that even when he needed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem, how many people did he send to get a donkey? 2. I mean, you think that, you know, getting a donkey, you could just have sent one adult. But he sent 2 disciples. That should tell us something about his purpose for the proclamation of the gospel. That God calls us, not just as individuals, but as teams of people who he's going to use to bring his truth to the world. So in the opening of this very letter, Paul made very clear that he wasn't writing the letter alone. He said it's Paul and Timothy. If you read the epistles of Paul, often you will find that Paul virtually never writes alone. It's always Paul and someone else. There are very few exceptions. One would be the book of Timothy. When he wrote to Timothy, he was writing to his own very, what we call, son in the gospel, his own partner in the gospel. So that letter he wrote by himself. When he wrote to Philemon, he did the same thing. But when he wrote to churches, he often write that letter with another partner in the gospel. So the call of God is a call to partnership. It's a call to work together. Paul and Timothy, servants of God. But not only is that calling a call of a team of two, but it's also a call alongside with a congregation. Paul writing to the Philippians in verse 1 continues, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Some translations use the word partnership in the gospel, in that particular passage. Paul was not the only one doing the work. he had Timothy, and actually if you read the end of the book of Philippians, you find that he had many other people with him. He will talk of Onesimus, he will talk of Silas, he will talk of course, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was part of that team. There were several people involved. But there were also the congregation that God has called alongside with Paul, and this church was one of those churches. Because if you read through, although we don't have time to, you'll find out that not only was this church one of the supporting churches of Paul, even when he was in another city, like in Thessalonica, he acknowledged the sent gift to him over and over again. God doesn't call people alone. He calls a team with them. And that team includes the congregation that commissions them. So in other words, as we're going to be doing commissioning today, we're not just going to be commissioning two couples who have been called by the Lord. We are going to be commissioning also a congregation that has been called alongside with them. Remember in the book of Acts, when Paul was actually commissioned with Barnabas, the message came not to Paul and Barnabas, but to the church. Set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Paul, for the work to which I have called them. It was a congregation that the Lord called upon to set apart the missionaries. The missionaries received God's call, but the congregation also received the same call. And today, this church commissioning these missionaries imply that not only have this couple received God's call, but that this congregation has also received the same call to set apart these people for the work to which God has called them. In other words, the success or failure of this missionary will also be the success or failure of this church. Because it's a partnership. It's a partnership in the gospel of Christ. God calls people. They are commissioned. But they're not commissioned just as individuals. They're commissioned as a part of a team. A team which includes the congregation that commissions them. That was why, in the book of Acts, Paul went back to the Antioch church to report of the ministry that they were doing, because the Antioch church was a part of that team that was doing that work. And as we commission this couple today, this church becomes a part of the work that these couples will be doing wherever God sends them. Because you are the one that God is using to send them out. Called by the Holy Spirit, but commissioned by the church. And the church becomes a part of that team. Partners in the gospel. But there was also partnership in giving. When Paul writes to the Philippian church to thank them of their partnership, part of that partnership was the giving that this church was doing to support the gospel that Paul was preaching. In view of your participation in the gospel from the very first day until now. It's interesting because in the book of Acts, we really did not read during that event in Philippi that the church there was participating with Paul in the gospel. That's not recorded for us in Acts 16. But with the benefit of hindsight, we know, because Paul was now saying to us, right from that very first day, you were participating in the gospel. But actually, we do know that they were participating from the first day. How do we know? The very first convert in the church of Philippi was who? Lydia, the maker of purple. What did Lydia say to Paul and his companions? She said to them, the moment she became a born-again child of God, the moment she put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was baptized, she said to this group of men, if you now consider me a partaker of this faith, you come into my house. By her giving and her sharing in what she had, she became a partaker in the proclamation of the gospel. So in reality, from the very first day, this church was actually participating in the gospel. Because the members, the foundation members of the church of Philippi, took the work of the gospel seriously right from the beginning. They saw their role in the sharing of the gospel by giving. So the invitation to participate in the gospel includes the giving that we will do as a congregation. But there's also a partnership in relationship. And Paul helped us understand that as he showed us what kind of relationship existed between him and the Philippian church from verse 6. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partaker of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Commissioning missionaries is much more than just praying for them so that they can go. Commissioning missionaries is a relationship of love. It's a relationship of love. It's much, much deeper than one day prayer to send people on their way. Paul was sharing with the Philippian church his affection for them, but he was also confident of their affection for him. Because when you read further in the book of Philippians, you find out there was such a deep relationship between this church and Paul. You see, one of the problems for missionaries who go out sometimes, and I've had this many times, is that as the years go by, the church begins to forget them. Because if you go away for 4 years and you come back for a year, and that part of the year, most of it you spend in travel, less and less people in the church get to know you. And missionaries suffer from a lack of affection from the very people who commissioned them. Paul was saying to us here, there is a relationship of affection in sharing and partnering in the gospel. And that is important, because as the years go by, and Quincy and Emily are no longer right here that you can see them every day, and Peter and Wing are no longer here that you can see them every week, they begin to fade from memory. They begin to be people who used to be in our church. What about the affection? Will your affection for them fade? Because the partnership in the gospel includes that affection of love that we share with those whom we have commissioned to go. Whether they are physically here or not, that relationship must not fade. That affection of love that drives us on our knees to pray for them must never fade, because it's part of the partnership in the gospel. It's not just that this congregation share in the partnership of their calling. It's not just that this congregation has share in the responsibility of giving to send them. This congregation also has the responsibility of sharing that affection of love with them wherever God calls them. And Paul also shared with us the partnership in prayer. And this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. There was something
about
prayer that every missionary knows, and it's that you can do nothing without the backing of prayer. Mission work is not based or dependent on the skill that we have. It's not dependent on how well we can articulate. It's not dependent on how much money we have to do good things. Mission work succeeds or fails on the prayer of God's people. Because as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If the gospel is the power of God, which we know it is, then the success of the gospel is through the prayer of God's people. Because it's as God makes his work effective in the heart of people through the Holy Spirit, but as they hear the truth of the gospel, that the gospel becomes effective in their lives. It's not what we're able to say, it's not how we're able to say, it's not the money we're able to put in, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that depends on the prayer of God's people. Of course, here we saw the missionary praying for the congregation. It's very interesting that Paul actually wrote and told them what he was praying for them. How often would this church write to the ones and the yells and say, this is what we pray for you? Think of what it would mean to them to receive a letter that says, and this is what we pray for you this Sunday. I think it would be very special for these people to know that this church is going to be upholding them in prayer. As Paul and this church had a relationship of prayer, partnering in the gospel. To partner in the gospel is the way the gospel was set up by our Lord Jesus Christ. He never sent anyone alone. He sent people as teams. He's going to be sending these couples as teams. And this church will be their team. Of course, they will have other people on the field, wherever they go, who will join that team. But the calling is both to them and to this church. Partnering in the gospel means that we're partnering in the call. We're partnering in the giving. We're partnering in the relationship, as well as partnering in prayer. I don't know what role the Lord will want you as an individual to play, and I don't know how God will be guiding this congregation to play their partnership role. But I do know that we are called together. The calling to mission is a teamwork, it's a team calling. I pray that the Lord, as we commission this couple today, will guide us, lead us, and help us to be a team with them wherever the Lord calls them. Not only to stand with them, but to bless them with our love and our prayers. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for Paul and his relationship with the Philippian church. A wonderful example of the partnership of the gospel. I pray today, as we commission these couples, that this church will join in that partnership. And that together we will make Christ known to the world. Thank you for those who you have called, and thank you for this congregation which you have called alongside with them. We glorify you.